The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
So whatever political position you take on immigration, on the issue of immigration, however you try and balance and address rightly both the rights of a nation and their obligation towards their own citizens and to bring peace, and the rights of foreigners to be able to at times seek safety and security, what we always have to hold up and what we can never violate is God's command that we heard just now, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So the virtue of hospitality, and in some ways, you might say even more than a virtue, the command of God towards hospitality, an obligation, a moral obligation towards all, and in a particular way towards the stranger, the foreigner. In our first reading, we heard the word alien, a refugee, towards those who are without means of help. In the time of the Old Testament, the widow and the orphan, those who are suffering, those who are poor, those who are sick. Our faith scripture is very strong, very clear on this obligation that we have towards them, to love them as ourselves. We talk about Catholic social teaching, or even outside of the church, sometimes social justice, that we have an obligation, and how are we to relate to one another as individuals, yes, but also in groups, and then even at the level of nations and societies and governments. This part of our faith, it's not something added on. It's not a little thing at the fringes. It's essential. It's an essential part of living our faith and what it means to be human. You know, there can, I don't know if they're common, but there can be certainly a couple of inclinations, mistakes when it comes to entering into our faith, living our faith. One of those inclinations can be that we can treat social justice, Catholic social teaching, again, how do we relate particularly as communities and societies? We can treat it as though it's the entire gospel. And really what it means to be Catholic, Christian, is all about loving our neighbor and in particularly helping those in need. And in that regard, then we can actually lose sight sometimes of, you might say, the supernatural part of our faith. To love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. The other dynamic, the inclination can be sometimes to treat Catholic social teaching and social justice as though it is kind of an external thing or a fringe thing. It's an optional thing. It's not really at the heart of our faith, but it's for those who want to enter into it. Instead, it's both. It's not an accident, I would suggest, that when Jesus is posed this question, as we're told they're testing him, what's the greatest command? He offers two. He says, here's the greatest, that we're made, our path to happiness lies in loving God with all that we have. Last week, I know it was at St. Robert's, but we heard about how we belong to God last week, Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. There's a lot there, but at the heart of it, whose image are you and I made in? God's. That we belong to God, and lo and behold as well, he belongs to us. God belongs to you. But from that reality, we're made to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. But that's not only not opposed, but it's deeply connected to loving one another and loving our neighbor as ourselves. As St. John says in his letter in the New Testament, we can't say we love God but hate our neighbor, because we don't even know God then. And of course, what does Jesus say? When you do these things, when you come to the aid of others in need, you're doing that to me. These two commandments go hand in hand, because at the same time, to truly love our neighbor, we have to have God. We can't truly love our neighbor, love our neighbor as ourselves, even you might say love ourselves without God. And ultimately, that's Jesus as well. We come to know God and Jesus, and we come to know ourselves in Jesus, and we come to be able to love, to do what we were made to do in Jesus. And so that's at the level of individuals, one-on-one. It's at the level of groups. It's in our families. It's in communities. And it's at the level of even nations. To be able to not turn a blind eye to the one in need. And at times it's also to recognize that need and reach out. I've been just very encouraged and inspired, and just I think the Holy Spirit's very much at work just in our parish these last months with, our DRE Lisa had this inspiration by the Holy Spirit, but she saw a need in our area and a way that we could meet that need. Again, thinking about families and right, God's plan for families, and we all experience brokenness in our families, but just to bring God's love into that, but just a simple thing of like, hey, you know, our schools are right down the road and they have these days where they get off in the middle of the day instead of the end of the day, and we could just open our doors and let the kids come here, and we could provide an environment where they're learning and there's activity and even a little prayer and God's presence, and who knows where that would lead. Great, let's try that. So that's what's begun, these half days of hospitality, and the first one was the other last month, and there were like 30 kids here, and then this month, last week, there were 43 kids here, and more kids or more parishioners helping out, being involved in that, you know, almost more than we can handle at this point, but there's a need there, and again, I think a sign of the Holy Spirit responding to that need. Are we attentive to that? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? And again, then even at the level of nations, how do we do that as a community, as a country? And to be able to let our minds and our hearts be formed, and there are not always easy or simple solutions, but what's at the heart, what's at the foundation, even of those decisions and discernments, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And all of that is based on this reality that we're all made in God's image. And so we have this inherent dignity, the dignity of the human person. And it's universal. It's from the moment of our conception to the moment of our death. And of course, beyond that as well. And it helps us. God reveals that. We know that because of God, and he calls us to live that out. And so when we're thinking even about the level of immigration and refugees and people, certainly I think there's a lot going on there. We know there's a great need, there's a great challenge, there's a certain crisis in its own way in our own country. I think many people seek out our country. One, it's a sign that in their own nations there's a lot of injustice. Why do people leave behind their own land? Not because everything is going great there for the most part. That's not why people leave, because, oh, I have the house that I need, and my family has everything they need and everything else. No, I'm leaving because there's great injustice, and I don't even have the basics. I don't have clothing. I don't have a house. I don't have health care. I don't have a job. I don't have these necessities and these things that in one way we have a right to. And of course, I think it's still the case that many people see our country as a place of hope. I can find a better life there. How do we regulate that? How do we respond to that? Just leave us with a couple of words. These are from our own catechism, right? Helping us articulate this reality of what we heard in our first reading, reflecting on it. This is number 2241 from the catechism, for those that like that sort of thing, want to go back and look. Here's what it says. It says the more prosperous nations are obliged, to the extent they are able, to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood which he cannot find in his country of origin. It's an obligation, to the extent that any nation can, to allow that foreigner, whoever they are, to come in. The public authority should see to it that the natural right is respected, that places a guest under the protection of those who receive him. It goes on to say, political authorities, for the sake of the common good for which they are responsible, there's a first obligation to the citizens, the people of one's own nation, when the government's working, for that sake of the common good, they may exercise, they may make the exercise of the right to immigrate subject to various juridical conditions, right? There are certain laws. You have to do this. You have to show that there is a need. It could be all sorts of things, but for the common good, still trying to respect the dignity of the human person, especially with regard to the immigrant's duties towards their country of adoption. Someone comes into a country, they have duties, they have obligations to that new country. They have to recognize those, and they have to follow them. Immigrants are obliged to respect with gratitude the material and spiritual heritage of the country that received them, to obey its laws, and to assist in carrying civic burdens. All of us have rights because of being made in God's image. Those rights come with obligations. Ultimately, at the heart of it, it's the same one that Jesus has. It's the obligation to love, and to love our neighbor as ourselves.